According to John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus do not share things in common with Samaritans." So Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have that given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then come the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Again, may God's peace and love be with you always. Amen. This morning, for this first part of my message, you can just sit back and truly listen to this story, as it will all tie in at the end. So one day, a man told a story which touched the hearts of all. He began, "I was a timid, frail, lost, and lonely 6-year-old child. When I first arrived at the farm in Georgia, I would have remained that way had it not been for that extraordinary woman." So you see, she lived on the farm in a small 2-room cabin where her parents resided when they were slaves. To any outsider, she simply appeared as any other African-American on that farm. But to those who knew her, she had a spiritual force whose influence was felt everywhere that she went. You see, she was the first person called when a person got sick. She made the medicines from roots and herbs that seemed to cure almost anything. She had a family of her own, but all the children in the area felt that they truly belonged to her. Everyone called her Maum Jean, a slurred version of Mama. Maum Jean spoke to the Lord often and well suspected that whom she spoke, the Lord stopped what he was doing, listened, and took that appropriate action. You see, her heart reached out to the small and to the helpless. So she took a particular interest in me from the start. Maum Jean's sensitive, emotional antenna instantly picked up the loneliness and withdrawal that I felt. You see, after 3 years of suffering from polio, moreover, her marvelous diagnostic sense surveyed that polio damage and decided that regardless of what the doctors might think, something could and should be done to improve my condition. Maum Jean had never heard the word atrophy, but she knew that the muscles could waste away unless they were used. So thus, every night when her tasks were done, she would come to my room and kneel down beside my bed and massage my legs. Sometimes when I would cry out in pain, she would sing songs or tell me stories to comfort me. When my treatments were over, she would always speak earnestly to the Lord in prayer, explaining that she was doing what she could, but that she would need that extra help. She asked the Lord for a sign when he was ready. A creek ran through the farm, and Maum Jean, who had never heard of hydrotherapy, said that there was strength in running water. She made her grandsons carry me down to a sandy bank where I could splash around quite well. I used crutches and often buckled on the clumsy braces that I had to wear. Still, night after night, Maum Jean continued the massaging and the prayers. And then one morning, when I was 12 years old, she told me that she had a big surprise for me. You see, she led me out into the yard and placed me with my back against a mighty oak tree. She took away my crutches and my braces. She moved back a dozen paces and told me that the Lord had spoken to her in a dream. He had said that it had come time for me to finally walk. Thus, Maum Jean said, "I want you to walk toward me." My instant reaction was fear. No way I was going to do that. You see, because I knew I could not walk unaided. I had tried. I leaned back, though, on that solid support of that tree. But Mahum Jean continued to urge me to come forward. I begged her to stop, and I burst into tears. And then her voice raised suddenly, no longer gentle and coaxing, but full of power and command. You can walk, boy. The Lord has spoken. Now walk over here. She knelt and she held out her arms abundantly. Somehow, impelled by something greater than fear, I took that first faltering step, and another, and another, and another, until I reached Mahum Jean and fell into her loving arms, both of us weeping together. It was 2 more years before I was able to walk normally, but I never used those crutches again. And for a while longer, I lived in that town. But then one day the circus came into the locale, and when it left, I went with it. So over the next few years, I worked one circus and another and another. And then one night, Mahum Jean's grandsons found me, and they knocked on my door. She was dying, and she wanted to see me. I left immediately, and I followed the young men back to the town. The area had not changed much since I left, nor had the Mahum Jean's cabin. There she was, laying in bed, surrounded by well-wishers. Although her face was in the shadow, I heard her whisper my name. I went to her side, and she spoke. Oh, it is so beautiful. She then gave a contented sigh, and she had her last breath. And then something remarkable happened. In that semi-darkness, her face was aglow. No one had touched the lamp. There was no other source of light in that room. Her face was plainly visible, and she was smiling. It was strange, but it wasn't frightening like I was when she wanted me to walk. I could not account for it then, and I can't account for it now. This all happened, you see, a long time ago, but I still think of Mahum Jean, and I remember when she taught me that nothing is a barrier when love is strong enough. Not age, not race, not death, not anything. End of story. Just get a little living water here. Now, what I love about this story, why I want to share, I know it's a little long story, but I just thought it was so important for me to share this. Because I love about it is that Mahum Jean was a woman who broke through barriers in order to bring the love of God to others, which just amazes me, because that's what we're supposed to. And here's the great thing, too. She would not take no for an answer, but rather she pressed forward, challenging people to do their best, with the certain knowledge that there was nothing that a person could not do if provided for the right tools and the right environment. So in a similar way, Jesus, as demonstrated in today's gospel reading, that long reading that I read for you this morning, he broke through barriers, refusing to accept the norms of exclusivity in common in this day that kept certain people on the fringes. He reached out to all. Jesus made bridges of love and friendship, and he brought the message of God to our world. Now, reading the gospel shows us that Jesus was constantly in conflict with religious authorities of his day. If you were here last Sunday, you probably heard about Nicodemus. And we learned from Nicodemus, because he was a Pharisee. And Jesus associated with the wrong people, broke the Sabbath. Jesus changed the Hebrew law, and he spoke out against the practices of the temple priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, and other Jewish leaders. So today's gospel reading this morning This text is a perfect example of how Jesus transforms conventional expectations and challenges that status quo of his world. You see, the Lord broke the strict conventions of his day in two fundamental and important ways. And that first one was that he reached out to a Samaritan. The Jews of Jesus' day did not like Samaritans. They were the descendants of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, overrun and conquered by the Assyrians 700 years before Christ. It was unthinkable for a self-respecting Jew to have anything to do with a Samaritan. Yet, there was Jesus intentionally journeys to this region for a reason. And moreover, second, it was against all accepted practice for a Jewish man to engage a woman in conversation. Yet Jesus talks with a woman. First century Jews would have been appalled at such behavior, at the audacity of one who claimed to be a rabbi to engage in such practices. And the outrage people felt would have been the same as those who heard Jesus proclaim his parable of that familiar parable that you all know of the Good Samaritan, found in Luke 10, 25 through 37, when the upstanding of the Hebrew society, the priest and the Levite, passed by that wounded traveler, did not even pay attention to them, and seemingly unconcerned, while the hated Samaritan treats the man with compassion and love. So you might say to yourself, why did Jesus engage the Samaritan woman in this conversation this morning in text? Now, on the surface, it seems that Jesus is thirsty just for some water and is asking for assistance to obtain the water of nature. But we need to read more closely this text this morning and listen more attentively. You see, the waters of nature are of little significance to Jesus at this point. He engages the woman to teach her, the Samaritans, his disciples, you and me, as well, of the need to seek and find the life-giving water, which only the Lord can provide for us. So again, another question I ask you this morning, what is this life-giving water? You see, some might say it's God's wisdom. Others may believe it is to be God's grace. Still others might see it as faith. I would like to suggest that the living water that Christ gives first starts with his love, which, like the water overflowing from a full glass, pours out in all directions. Jesus' love goes to the people for all time. And Jesus wants us to be open to that fresh and to that new reality of what he truly is offering, the life-giving water, instead of continuing to view everything from the lens of the old realities that those religious leaders were so focused on. And the possibilities that Jesus provides are truly remarkable. But we must be sufficiently open to recognize them. So for Christians today, for you and me, this gospel passage this morning must truly have great significance. You see, we are members of Christ's body. It even tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, the church, the people, the believers of Christ, one in the body of Christ, that we are called to stop shaping life according to societal definitions of what is acceptable and comfortable for us, and to demonstrate our openness to those who are different. And that's exactly what Jesus did this morning's text in his encounter with the Samaritan woman. That living water of God's love, which Jesus invites us to share, always goes out indiscriminately to all people. Jesus was never exclusive, was he? His inclusive compassion, his assistance and care for others led him to that cross. If we are truly If we are true to our common vocation, to holiness, and that we follow in the footsteps of our Lord, our fate will truly be the same. But just as Jesus' suffering and cross led to his glory, so if we persevere, we will see our own resurrection. You see, as Jesus came to break down barriers and reach out to all, so must we be willing to do the same. How do we do that? Well, first, we must recognize the reality that we do create barriers. Not by choice, but sometimes it just ends up that way. You see, barriers exist in our lives in many ways that often we don't even realize. We set up boundaries in our relationships with others. There are certain people who we find acceptable and others, sadly, who are not. If people possess the right credentials, whether that be intelligent, appearance, power, wealth, or influence, then they are on the inside. Those, though, sadly, without these credentials, are left out. I've experienced that with doing youth ministry for 29 years, and no one's intentionally trying to leave out, but when we get in certain groups or doing certain things and that person doesn't do the same thing, it's easy sometimes to leave that person on the outside. Now those, and also we set up barriers against ourselves. We perceive that we do not possess that requisite credentials, and we don't measure up to the task, and we shortchange ourselves. Or sadly, we just give up. We set up barriers between ourselves also and with God. Sometimes that barrier takes the form of just a lack of attention. You see, we possibly, and we've all been guilty of it, sometimes we ignore God, placing him in the bottle, and we just put him on that shelf that becomes as dusty as that family Bible that sits right next to it. And when we need the Lord, only then do we pull that cork off and we ask for his assistance. And other times the barrier takes the form of just plain ignorance. Now when we seem content in our own world and we refuse to look around and acknowledge the pain of our world which cries out for our assistance, we possess certain expectations of ourselves, of others, and of God, and when they are not fulfilled, the disappointment is sometimes severe. And I just leave you with this ending, that I just want to remind you that Jesus, the good news is this, Jesus broke through all convention and disappointed many whose expectations of the Messiah were not fulfilled, yet the lessons that Jesus taught must never, ever be ignored. Because Jesus taught that Samaritan woman that the love of God is always poured out for all people, those we accept and those we do not, including ourselves. And Ma'um Jean became that Christ-like figure to that little boy, pouring out her love to him in abundance. So let's remember that Lent is a time when we seek to be transformed and to be renewed. Jesus provides the perfect example. And today's third Sunday in Lent is the ideal environment to enter fully into this process. So let us therefore be renewed by breaking down the barriers of hostility, hatred, prejudice, and exclusivity. Instead, let us build the bridges of friendship, of love, and of peace. Let us do what we can to build God's kingdom in our world this day, until the day that we receive our reward in God's heavenly kingdom by staying true to the promise and hope that we receive through Jesus' death and resurrection, and be true believers and followers of Christ by sharing his love to all who come in our path. To God be the glory. Amen.